Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say, shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. I like that phrase. Yes. The world wasn't worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this evening. Just some statements about faith to begin with. Faith is the heart's intake, and love is its outlet. For real faith never comes away from God's well with an empty vessel. Real faith comes away full, never empty. Faith believes only that which is true. Faith has an understanding. For the beginning of doubt is the end of faith. And the beginning of real faith is the end of doubt. Someone has said, "Give me faith that will not worry, whine, or wrangle, but watch, work, wait, and warble." I'm not sure what warble means, but it sounds good. Give me the kind of faith that, yeah, that is steadfast. Like a bird warbles?
Sings.
Okay, all right. Good. You see, even I learned something in the message tonight. Faith can go no further than the Word of God, but is always limited by the phrase, "it is written." For faith is merely saying amen to God. And a firm faith in the promises of God is the very best theology. So with this in mind, let's look at our text this evening and see how these people became winners in the faith. Notice, first of all, the people sharing faith. The people sharing faith. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. There are some things that will only happen as we step out in faith. The Red Sea never parted until Moses held out the rod. Those walls, they didn't fall down until the people marched around them 7 times. In the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit wasn't outpoured until the people gathered together in one accord and waited upon God. Some things won't happen until we show our faith to be real, to be true, to be genuine, till we stand on faith and put the promises of God into action. Continuing, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. As we look at this list of names, we see people from all different walks of life. A great variety of individuals and people. And yet, God used them because they all had faith. God used them because of their faith. There's men and women, old men and women, young men, young ladies, common people, just like you and me, farmers, shepherds, soldiers, priests, harlots, a prostitute, liars, swindlers who God changed, and they were all used by God. They had something in common, their faith. But how can this happen? How can God use such people for His glory? Well, notice the harmony. What brought these people was their faith. It was a harmonious faith. They were different in heredity, different in taste. They had different interests and different skills. And so do we. We don't all have the same interests. We don't all come from the same backgrounds. We have different skills, different talents, different abilities. We're not all alike. But there is a bond that is common among all of us. We all believe the Word of God. That's what held these people in common was as well. They were able to share their belief in the Word of God. They believed God's Word to be true, and they took God at His Word. Notice the history here. There are three periods mentioned here. The judges, Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, they're all judges. The kings, another group of period, represented by David, King David. And the prophets, it mentions Samuel and the prophets. Now the reason that I bring that out tonight is to let you know that faith is ageless and timeless. Faith works today just like it worked back then. Faith will continue to work. It'll always work. No matter what the time frame is, faith works. Faith is not limited by time. Faith is not limited by age. It's not limited by circumstances. In fact, true faith rises above circumstances. And I've seen children probably with the greatest faith of all. They've caused me to marvel. How can such a one who is so young have such great faith? I guess it's their childlike trust. They just believe. They take God at His word. And so whether it's Gideon with 300 men going against the Midianites who had 25,000 in their army, or whether it's Samson all by himself, faith will never fail. It'll always be victorious. Faith is the key to all. And whether it's just a handful of people that are gathered together in church in Wilson, or it's you by yourself on your job or witnessing to somebody, faith is the key that will help you be victorious. It is the key to all. Notice the people sharing faith, and then secondly, notice the problems solved by faith. Verses 33 through 35. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in a fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. There's a list of things that these people were able to do, overcome, problems that they were able to solve because of their faith. It says that they subdued kingdoms. Joshua subdued the nations of Canaan. Gideon, the Midianites, Jephthah, the Ammonites, David, the Philistines, Amalekites, Jebusites, and Edomites. They were able to overcome these kingdoms because of their faith, the Bible tells us. There is one kingdom that we must overcome, the kingdom of Satan. It's real. We fight against his kingdom. I don't know if I shared this story with you. I shared it last week in preaching at my father-in-law's church. I'd heard this story for many years, but I'd never been able to track down its validity. It happened with a pastor. Sexton was on an airplane, and he noticed a man who was fasting. He refused food when the stewardess, the flight attendant, brought him his meal. And Pastor Sexton approached him thinking he was a Christian. He said, "Sir, I see that you are fasting. Are you a Christian?" And the man said, no, I am a Satanist. And I've taken a vow, along with many other Satanists, to fast 2 whole days a week for 200 pastors a week to fall into sin. We've got people praying against pastors and church leaders. We've got Satanists praying against the kingdom of God. Satan's kingdom it's active. It's real. Probably 50 years ago, you didn't hear too many people talking about spiritual warfare at all. You didn't hear about the Satanists. I want you to know that they're real today. They're active. They pray. There are people that actually pray to Satan. He's got a church. He's got a follower. He's got followers. He's got a group. But the kingdom of darkness is a very real kingdom. And we fight against it. And we must subdue it. We must put it under our feet. We have to be victorious over it. It'll happen through faith. Then it said they wrought righteousness. They wrought righteousness. They carried the laws of justice into execution, particularly on guilty nations. They executed the great purposes of God in punishing the wicked and in cutting off his foes. It says that they obtained promises. They shared promises. As a result of their faith, they had promises of blessing on their posterity in future times. If we can remain faithful to God, if we can demonstrate our faith to be real and active, we'll certainly see God's blessing on our lives as well, because it's a life of faith that pleases God. And whoever God is pleased with, he will bless. And then they stopped the mouth of lions, stopped lions. Samson did. David did. I think it's particularly talking about Daniel. He's who we think of when we think of someone who is able to shut the mouth of lions. To be able to subdue and render harmless the king of the forest, the animal most dreaded in early times, was regarded as an eminent achievement. And that's why when Daniel was able to come out of that lion's den victorious, all the people decided they wanted to serve Daniel's God. Strengthened in weakness, out of weakness were made strong. This is one of those paradoxes in the Christian life that is hard to explain, but we accept that by faith. When we are weak, we are then strong. It's because we're not relying upon our own abilities. We recognize our weakness and we rely upon Christ. And he is then able to show his strength in us and through us. And then they stood firm in the fight. They waxed valiant in fight. In such a way, it must have proved that God was with them. It did. I mean, how could, for example, 300 men led by Gideon conquer an army of 25,000? How could all of a sudden one man who's thrown into the den with some hungry lions, how could he survive that? What is it that the lions were no longer hungry? How about the fiery furnace? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the furnace. There was nothing wrong with the furnace. It was working. They cranked it up 7 times hotter than it was. So hot that the men throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in were burned. There was nothing wrong with the furnace. There was nothing wrong with the lions. It was proving that God can do anything. And when we have that faith, when we believe that God can do anything, then there's nothing that's going to hold us back. Our doubt will hold us back, but when we have faith, when we believe that God can and will do anything, then we're willing to step out in faith and do anything for him. So notice the people sharing faith and notice the problem solved by faith. What problem do you have tonight? I believe that that problem can be solved by faith. No matter how big the problem is, God is bigger than that problem. Through faith in him, you can solve that problem tonight. And then number three, notice the possibilities shown by faith. The possibilities are limitless. Because God is limitless. D.L. Moody described three kinds of faith. First of all, struggling faith. Described as a man in deep water, barely able to swim and struggling to stay afloat. These are those who, struggling in the sea of life, head barely above water, but never gaining faith's victory. Do you realize tonight that there are some people that are struggling? They're barely hanging on. Their head's barely above water, struggling through life. Their problems have just about overwhelmed them, just about drowned in their sea of problems. Never really coming to the place where faith could be victorious for them. Struggling every step of the way. Then there is clinging faith, described as one in deep water, clinging to the side of the boat with one hand and just barely holding on. These are those spiritually immature, barely clinging to the promises and great adventures of faith. They've moved just a little bit beyond the struggling aspect to the clinging aspect. They're holding on just barely, but they're hanging on to the promises. And so they have having an adventure, but still it's rough. And then there's resting faith. It's portrayed as the faith of a person safely secured in the boat, but able to reach out and assist those struggling or clinging. You see, unbelief will lock up our potential while faith releases it. I hope tonight that you can rest securely in God's promises, so much so that you're able to put a hand out and help others who are struggling. Help those that are struggling, barely making it. Or help those who are clinging onto the promises of God but not really seeing any victory. There's faith, but there's a lot of doubt mixed in with their faith. We all need to get to the point where we can rest in faith. We know for sure that God has everything under control and He will take care of us. And we can actually step out and reach out and help others. A drought was having a devastating effect on a certain section of the country. The little country church announced a special prayer meeting to pray for rain. And actually, we did that when we were in South Dakota too. There was the drought had been going on. It was about the third year, and we had gathered together to pray for rain. We didn't have an experience like this lady had, though. As the members began to gather, Aunt Martha carrying her umbrella was encountered by an old skeptic on her way to the church. "Aunt Martha, where are you going?" He knew, but thought he would chide her a little bit. "Why, to prayer meeting," answered Aunt Martha. "Prayer meeting? Huh. Bunk," retorted the skeptic. "Yes, we're meeting tonight to pray for rain." That's the kind of faith that we need, faith that carries the umbrella with us to prayer meeting. There's no doubt that God's going to answer this prayer. And let the skeptic sneer, let him chide, let him jeer, because they will see faith in action. They will see God meeting our needs, answering our prayers. And then the five faces of faith. Our faith in the Lord is the staff of life for the believer. Without faith, we cannot grow in the Lord. And we certainly cannot please Him. The Scriptures tell us that without faith it is impossible to please God. We must believe, first of all, that He is, and secondly, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It's not enough just to believe that God is. We need to believe that God wants to reward us for pleasing Him, for seeking Him. In fact, Paul tells us that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith then is best summed up by Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the assurance that God will do what He has said He will do. five kinds of faith here, five faces of faith. Number one, converting faith. This is the kind of faith that saves the soul. It is all that really is required. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. This is eternal faith. The second face of faith is changing faith. This is the kind of faith that helps us to live holy lives. This faith helps us to trust in Jesus for direction and helps us walk each day in His will. You see, I believe that we should be changing, ever changing from glory to glory, ever changing by degrees, being changed into the image of the incorruptible, becoming more like Christ. We were not just saved just to be saved. We were saved to become like Christ, to be more like Him. And so it takes faith to see this change take place as we let God have His way, as we surrender to His will. And then the third face of faith is contending faith. This type of faith makes us seek God for others and believe God will move in their lives. It is one thing to have faith for yourself and for your situation. It is another greater faith to believe that God is going to move in the life of somebody else. Sometimes we get discouraged in this area. If we don't see a lot of progress, we can become discouraged. Brian's testimony tonight was great. He has contending faith, believing that people will change. And sometimes when we don't see it, though, we become disheartened and we think that nothing is happening, but we don't know what God is doing in the heart of that individual. So tonight, you need to have faith for others, to believe that God can change them, to believe that God can save that lost soul, to believe that God can heal that person that you've been praying for, to have faith for others, and to contend for the faith. And then comforting faith. This type of faith reminds us that God is still in control. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It's that knowledge that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. This kind of faith deals a death blow to our fears. If we can have this kind of faith, knowing that God is in every situation and He's working all things for our good, and we are comforted by that fact, then our fears are dealt a death blow. The more we feed our faith, the more we starve our doubts and our fears. And then conquering faith is the fifth of the faces of faith. This type of faith destroys any obstacle that arises in our lives. It reminds us that God is still the Lord. This faith gives us the victory in any situation, as we realize that we are more than conquerors. We are supra conquerors through Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. This is the kind of faith that is victorious in any situation, in any circumstance. This is the kind of faith that the Lord would have us all to arrive to. Now, as we just look at that list tonight, as you think about that, do you have all five of the faces of faith? I trust everybody here tonight has converting faith. You're saved. And maybe from time to time we see these faces more clearly than we do at other times in our life. But we should have changing faith. God is changing us. We have the faith to accept that and to go along with His plan and purpose. We should have faith that is contending for others, believing God for them, comforting faith. God is in control. And conquering faith, the kind that destroys obstacles, the kind of faith that leads to victory in every situation. Those are the faces of faith. This is just the beginning, as I said tonight. We're going to look at some of these individuals, because as you read through this chapter, it says, by faith, Moses. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. What was it about them? Why does it bring these people out? By faith, what were they able to accomplish? That's what we want to look at in the weeks ahead, so that we also can, by faith, George and Gail and Brian and Pastor Craig and so forth, we can accomplish things for God as well. Whatever is done in our life, in the Christian life, is done through faith. Whatever we do that will please God will be because of our faith. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? What I just want you to realize tonight is that you and I can have faith that will change things. You don't need to be a great person. You don't need to have a lot of fame. You don't need to have a lot of money. You don't have to be in the right circumstances to have the kind of faith that God would honor and use. You might simply be a Gideon. You might simply be somebody who the world would not think is very significant. You might be in a situation where you find that you have to stand alone, like Samson, all by yourself. But faith is the key to it all. And faith is not limited by time, age, or circumstance. Kids, I hope that you can even have your faith strengthened. You can grow in faith through this. You don't have to reach a certain age before God uses you. God uses us at any age. So my plea to you is simply to make the commitment as we begin this study. Lord, would you teach me what you want me to know about faith? If you could just say that to him. Lord, would you teach me what you want me to know about faith? Give me the faith that pleases you. And then as I grow in faith, Lord, use it. Use me. If that was your prayer tonight, could you just seal it by a raised hand of commitment? Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you for these people that you have mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Winners of the faith. Some of these men and women, the world was not even worthy of them. But they all obtained a good report through faith. Lord, may that be true for each of us. May we all receive a good report, obtain a good report through our faith. Lord, tonight I pray that you would instill in some hearts tonight that you are going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Lord, that from our midst there would arise Gideons. There would arise Samuels, prophets. There would arise Davids who slay giants. There would arise Daniels who shut the mouth of lions. Lord, that there would arise many who would give honor and glory to you through their lives. Take this study and use it for your glory, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in vales below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith. victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the... Let's sing the last verse too, verse 3.
On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each hand, with truth all girt about. The earth shall tremble 'neath our tread, and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory.
Walk in faith, walk in victory. There's some different tapes out there tonight that have not been out there previously. I haven't been able to keep up real well, but that's good. So, but there are some tapes out there that hadn't been out there previously. Help yourself, of course. Just take what you'd like, and we'll try to keep them stocked up, all right? God bless you. You're dismissed.